Shadow governments, strange rituals, new world
shadow
order,
governments, strange
buried treasure,
new
planetary
world
mind control, military cover-up,
shadow governments, strange rituals, new world order, buried treasure, planetary mind control,
unidentified flying
objects,
presidential
assassination, unidentified flying objects, presidential assassination,
population,
pyramids,
fascists,
apocalypse,
Out there.
It's a strange world.
Visit outthereradio.net for more information.
Some people say a man made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood.
Muscle and blood and skin and bone.
A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. Picked up my shovel, I walked to the mine.
I load 16 tons of double-A coal.
And then the straw boss said, well, flip my soul.
You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go.
I sold my soul.
Hi, this is Heidi Hallis from AlienAdvice.com, and you're listening to the Hot Boys at Ghostly Talk.
Hello, everybody. My name is Badge. I'm a druid from Ireland, and I'm very busy with the Save Tara campaign. We're trying to divert the road that's going to be built, the toll road, away from Tara Hill. So if any of you can help out with this, please go to our website at www.taraskreen.org and please help us to save the heart of Ireland from having a scar gouged right across it. I believe there are 40 million Americans that claim Irish descent. This concerns each and every one of you. Please help to save Tara, and thank you for listening to Ghostly Talk.
You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts Doug and Scott L.
Solomon's Temple in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
We view it to be the source of the most esoteric knowledge in human history. It has fascinated scholars, seekers, and dreamers for centuries. For generations, scholars and researchers have tried in vain to discover the fabled Temple of Solomon, only to be confronted by one problem after another. All the problems raised by these disparate and often desperate people who have now fully answered and can be revealed to the world. Through his own involvement in secret societies and tenacious spirit, Philip Gardner has unearthed the secrets of Solomon's Temple. And by slaughtering that bio, I'd like to welcome Philip to the show. How are you doing tonight, Philip?
Fine, thank you very much.
You actually did pretty good, Scott.
Did I do okay?
I'm proud of you.
I'm really working on that, my whole bio.
I think
bio.
It was marvelous.
Well, thank you, Philip. You know, we've had you on. You've been popping on here a lot lately, and we love having you on, Philip, by the way. It's always great to have you come on and talk to us about the stuff you're working on. And you have this, Gnosis, the Secret of Solomon's Temple Revealed. You were nice enough to send us a copy of the book, and then along with the companion. Well, tell me how this works, because is it a companion DVD, or is it basically two separate entities of what you were working on with this project? I mean, is there a healthy marriage, or are they just two separate things?
Well, they do kind of mirror each other, obviously.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you could be skeptical and say the DVD is for people who are lazy and can't be bothered to read, of which I'm one of them. But the DVD came much after the book, to be honest.
Okay.
And it came with my involvement with the entertainment company, Reality.
Mm. Okay.
And also a union with Soulpath, the band. So it came about through that, and, you know, we've basically got the medium now to be able to do these things, and a lot of people like buying DVDs and not books, you know, and there's a lot of people who sit on aeroplanes with a little DVD players and in cars, mm. and maybe not when they're driving, but it came out of that, really, you know, and it was complete accident how it was put together. It was, right, well, here's all the images, here's the voiceover, here's the music, and stick it in the computer and see how it comes out, and you know, I'd like to say it was my wonderful directing, etc., but it came out the way it did because it was pure accident.
Philip, it was very well put together. I watched it a couple times myself and really enjoyed it. It was very well put together.
Thank you very much.
It was done very well. I mean, it's a very important. I mean, there's a lot of information to pack into an hour of DVD. So it was a bit. I mean, I was actually watching it the first time. I was working from home that day, and I had my TV, and then I had my computer I was working on. I'm like, well, I'll put this in while I'm working and kind of, you know, just kind of take this thing in. And I found myself like stopping work many times and rewinding the DVD to go, what did they just say?
That's usually how
it works. That's insane. That's crazy, right? What is the basis? I mean, let's try to get a good feel for this for people that, you know, I'd like to see everybody check out this book and or this DVD. I think the DVD sales will go up a lot higher than the book sales. You're right about that, Philip. I agree with you on the DVD thing. But what are we talking about here? We kind of read a little bio here, but what are these secrets we're discussing? I mean, I don't want us to take the whole cat out of the bag, but maybe let's chop the cat in half and kind of take half it out of the bag, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. well, I've got a tale here somewhere, but It's difficult, really, to give it over in a few sentences, but basically, if you go to Jerusalem, as I did to research this, and various other places around the world, you'll speak to the archaeologists and say to them, right, so where's this Solomon's Temple? And they'll look at you kind of blank and say, well, it's not here, because there's no evidence for it.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kind of non-aligned archaeologists, the ones who aren't either Christian or Jewish or Muslim or any other kind of denomination, which basically have its basis in the literalism of the temple. So when you talk to non-aligned archaeologists, they'll say, it's just not here. And there are a great many archaeologists who say this. Certainly not of any magnificence that is spoken of in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And so that raises a question in your head, of course, is, well, what does it mean then? Because nothing in the Bible is really there by accident. It's either there because of copy or for reason. There is a reason to it.
And
there are a great many things to the temple which are symbolic. And if you understand what the Gnostics in particular were talking about, then you can understand the temple. And so in order to understand the temple, one has to understand what the Gnostics were talking about.
Okay.
And so anybody who doesn't know anything about the Gnostics or Gnosis, it's a Greek word, spelled G-N-O-S-I-S.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the English dictionary, you'll find that it means knowledge. But the English language is appalling at translating older languages, such as Greek and Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it will give us one word and or a sentence. And it's just appalling, really, the English language in that respect. And so if you go back and you try to discover what gnosis really means, there is a sentence which is very deep, and it means the direct mystical experience of the divine in the self, which is a really incredibly deep sentence.
I like that definition better.
A complete mouthful.
Yeah. But that encompasses the knowledge that it's talking about. One word knowledge in the English language doesn't really mean what that's, you know, what gnosis really means.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you break that down into, first of all, the direct mystical experience. And this is an experience that a great many people have, especially people today who have altered states of consciousness, out-of-body experiences, paranormal experiences where they connect with ghosts and all kinds of different things.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the word divine in there. So we have to understand the word divine in the concept that it was spoken of at the time. And this is their God. This is their entity that connects them to the universe as a whole. But they also left it at the end with, in the self. And so when you read something like the apocryphal, the Book of Thomas, for instance,
mm-hmm.
he says, for whoever does not know self, does not know anything, but whoever knows self has already acquired knowledge about the depth of the universe. And the word that they use, therefore, knows self,
mm-hmm.
is, of course, gnosis. So this is an incredibly deep knowledge, which is within us about the depth of the universe. So in this respect, the Temple of Solomon points to this in symbolism. It points to the fact that, first of all, you need to be balanced. You need to enter the temple in balance between the two pillars, Boaz and Jachin, two of the pillars that the Freemasons obviously place around their lodges and temples.
Mm-hmm.
And a great many other people. So this implies balance. These are the two legs of the man that's placed upon the earth as the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And in sacred geometry, the temple is the form of man on earth. It is the divine shape of man. And when you enter this temple, you get to the Holy of Holies, which is your mind. And within there is the Ark of the Covenant, upon which you see God.
Ooh.
And this is the gnosis. This is that you will find God within your own mind, in balance, and through true wisdom.
Okay, all right.
The Gnostics are talking about.
All right, I don't want to cut you off there, but I just want an observation / question / I don't know what else. But, well, no,
flash away.
Here's something that I've, you know, living life. You know, I'm pushing 32 years old right now. And this is something I've been preaching, not quite, you know, in the terms we're talking about right now, but this is something I've been preaching to people for so long. And it's, I know a handful of people who live their lives where it's almost a manic depressive to lifestyle, so to say. Extreme highs and extreme lows.
Yep.
Extreme highs and extreme lows. Whereas I kind of grew up in a family where and it can be a problem, let's just say, because you guys, anybody who knows me, right, they know that I get very upset when the slightest thing kind of happens that kind of ruffles the water a little bit, right?
No way.
But I like to live my life where it is a nice, smooth, kind of straight line, right? I mean, you can have your fun, you can do wild things and stuff like that, but generally your universe is in balance, where there is a healthy balance. And that's what I've been telling people for years, is like, okay, you wonder why your life is a complete wreck right now. It's because you're completely out of control, man. There's no balance in your life. You don't have any healthy dose of this along with a healthy dose of that. You have a huge dose of this and nothing of that, right? So this idea that you're discussing where, I mean, you walk between the pillars in perfect balance, I think that's a real good analogy for life, my opinion of how life should be lived now.
Right.
I mean, especially in this day and age where things are so fast, so complicated, so chaotic, I think more people need to level themselves like that so they are more balanced. I think if more people did that, we'd have a much more steady pace of things, where things would be much more balanced out and more relaxed, whereas opposed to, I need to sit on my cell phone all day long because if I don't, I'm going to miss that meeting and then I'm going to lose my job and then I'm going to die or something like that. I mean, it's loosely related, I think. But I think that
absolutely
state...
Absolutely, bang on.
Okay, cool.
You are listening to Deep Thoughts with Scott L.
Well, it makes sense, though. I mean, this idea of the perfect balance between the pillars, to enter this temple in perfect balance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think... go ahead. I'm sorry.
You see, the great point that you're making there is between the pillars. You know, if one of the pillars is order and the other one is chaos,
mm-hmm.
then be neither. You can't get into the temple if you keep bumping into order, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You keep walking into that pillar, you're going to hurt your head.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to be between. You've got to have an element of chaos, if you like, and an element of order, but you've got to be neutral. You've got to be completely between, neither mm-hmm. one nor the other. And you've got to bring those two things into balance. And you pointed out something absolutely paramount to what they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And you said this holding of the mobile phone, the cell phone, and worrying about things. That's the chaos. That's the fear.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our lives is run on fear.
It is.
And, you know, the Bible and many other ancient texts tell us, you know, do not fear.
Right.
If you truly know the divine in the self, if you know this neutral place, and you know yourself, then do not fear. There should be no fear. There is a respectful fear. For instance, if a lion's running at you, you have a respect for the lion and the nature of the lion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and you should also have respect for your own nature.
Mm.
And that's key to this as well, is that if you truly want to connect to yourself, understand your natural being and your intuition is much stronger than anything you can learn in books.
I think simply put, know yourself and respect yourself.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Know yourself and respect yourself. One thing I tell people, like I'm some philosopher and I know everything, but one thing I say to people, though, and this stuff all ties in perfectly, I think Philip verified that. Thank you very much. is just that, too. I mean, people don't take the time, I think, nowadays. They may be so busy on the cell phone having to get to the meeting or they lose their job and die. They're so worried about that they don't take that time out for themselves.
No.
To go, okay, to question themselves, question their motives, question their decisions, and go, am I making the right decision here? Maybe I should go to somebody for consultation on this. I do this daily. With people, am I making the right decision here? Help me.
Isn't it a paradox when you think that following the Second World War, the people were supposedly given this new free time, that we supposedly had time for holidays and time for our children, etc.
Mm-hmm, right.
And the paradox is that now we've got all this wealth and this wonderful cycle that we're on.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's got any time anymore because we're all busy trying to afford the cycle that
mm-hmm.
we're on.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
So it's completely out of balance, and the world has gone mad.
Well, the world has gone mad, and I think a big problem with that, a big part of that, really, is that, and I don't want to go on a rant about this, but I mean, let's say it for what it is. We have a lot of groups out there trying to convince everybody on this planet that they have to be their own king. They have to be their
mm-hmm.
own king. They have to have their own kingdom, and you have to have the best of everything. You have to have the top of the line of everything. If you don't, you're a loser, and you're nobody.
In essence, keeping up with the Joneses.
Keeping up with the Joneses, exactly.
And that's fear again, isn't it?
It's
yes,
fear.
It is.
You will not be as good as the next man.
It's, yeah, that's a complete and utter fear.
And it's also a lot of people spend more time trying to please other people that they don't take time out to make sure they're happy.
Well, isn't that a good thing, though?
Well, it can be paradoxical. She's quite right, because while you're attempting on the surface level to please other people, you would actually please them more if you were actually a better balanced person.
Mm. Okay.
Very true.
That makes there and now that comes full circle. No, that's right. I mean, there is that element where if you're, and there are people like that. I've come across people that were so concerned about doing everything perfect that they had to do everything right. That in essence of doing that, they annoyed the crap out of me.
I don't like you looking at me the whole time say that.
I'm jamming with you, Bonnie.
Oh, okay.
We're jamming
okay.
here. You know, I'm trying to look at Keith, but I'm going to hurt my neck.
Yeah,
again, so.
That's all right.
No, but there is that element where people try so hard to please other people that they do the opposite.
Absolutely.
They don't please them.
But, at the same time, if you're spending all your time, like I'm spending all my time trying to make Scott happy, make sure Scott has everything Scott needs.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I don't make sure Bonnie has what Bonnie needs, Bonnie's not going to be very happy helping Scott.
Well, you know, we may have this internal balance within ourselves, but everything within us, in the mind, should be reflected and is reflected in society at large.
Mm-hmm.
So Scott, as the male side of this partnership, should be respectful of the female side and recognize that Bonnie needs some time for herself too.
I agree.
I was just giving an example, that's all.
I agree.
I'm not saying that isn't respectful. Scott is a decent enough guy.
I'm just the referee here.
Okay, so if we're on a grading scale of BC
okay,
guy,
wait
like
a minute.
C plus.
For me to say that about you, when you and I rag on each other constantly, but that's how we get along.
Yeah.
You are one of my best friends.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
I don't say that about very many people. You're a good guy, Scott.
Well, thank you, Brian. That means so much to me.
Oh, hush up.
All right. Well, no,
we're all going to be on Oprah next week now.
I'd rather be on Oprah than Jerry Springer.
We're pushing that too, though. I think
we might be.
Some of the same stuff going on around here. But no, this all ties in with that. Where there, balance. It's all about that. Watch the Karate Kid, for God's sake. You'll learn the whole thing. Ralph Macchio will teach you the whole thing. Pat Morita will teach you the whole thing. No, in reality, I mean, it is balance. And this is something I've really thought a lot about, Philip. I really have. Where, okay, you know, too much of that's going to be bad. Too much of anything's bad for you.
Oh, yeah.
Too much of anything's bad for you. I'll stand by that till the day I die. And this whole idea of balanced walk between the pillars is a real analogy for life itself, I think. How I think life should be lived now. I mean, that's...
You made an excellent point there, pointing out Karate Kid, because, you know, that is a Far Eastern philosophy that's coming to the West.
Mm-hmm.
So what it points out is that this philosophy is worldwide. You can find it everywhere, because it's a basic philosophy of mankind. He understood it. Once he understood it himself, he figured it out all over the world.
So this is something global. This isn't just a Western idea. You just said this comes from the Far East. This is from every corner of the planet. People, this is... something that's shared with all of us. It's something that we all share.
It's shared all over the world, and that's one of the reasons that, for instance, we've discussed before, the serpent is worshipped all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because the serpent is a great symbol of this energy and vibrancy and balance within ourselves. Because, you know, one of the really important things to notice was this direct mystical experience. You know, we're talking now about a psychological level, which psychologists such as Carl Jung pointed out many times, but there's this mystical experience too, which when man does get within, when he does have these altered states of consciousness, he has this mystical experience, and that is worldwide too. And, you know, I'm questioning the science of this, not just the experience, because an experience can take people off into almost a religion. But what is the science so that we can bring some balance back into the thing? And, you know, when you look at the science of this, you are getting into a state, basically, which is within your unconscious world.
Mm-hmm.
And within that unconscious world is all your original connections to nature. But also, you are getting into a quantum realm. And this is where it starts to get very exciting from a scientific point of view, because... as I pointed out in the book and in the DVD, that this is quantum entanglement.
Okay.
That can sound very strange, but the quantum world is a very strange place. But it's basically your thoughts entangling with everything else. Because when you talk to people who have had this experience, and people around the world are having it, I just a moment ago had an email from somebody else who's had the experience.
Mm-hmm.
They have a sense of knowledge, of all knowledge, that they say is ineffable, that they can't speak. They have a sense of oneness with everything. They feel at that one point in time that they are connected to the entire universe and that they have come back with knowledge that they could not have possibly have read, that they cannot possibly find anywhere, but it gives them a knowledge of the universe. And it's such a powerful experience. If you are not entering this experience in balance, then you may very well be entering the world of hell, because all these terrible things from your unconscious will take over. So it can be a dangerous thing too. But this sense of knowledge and oneness to the entire universe, we can only seem to explain now as quantum entanglement, where the particles of our thoughts entangle with the particles of the universe.
So this is a oneness with the universe, obviously. I mean, this is something right. Where you become, like you just said, you become one. You're a reflection of the universe is a reflection of you.
And now take this a step deeper, now that we've got that quantum entanglement to the universe.
Okay.
And you listen to somebody, for instance, like Professor James Gardner,
okay,
who is a philosopher and physicist, who is accepted and peer-reviewed and said recently that the universe is intelligent at the subatomic level, at the quantum level, and that it acts upon a DNA feedback loop, which means, for instance, when DNA grows, it sends out a signal. When it gets to a certain stage, it waits for a signal to return to it, and then it continues to grow. And he says from all the maths and all the philosophies that he can possibly work through in the physics, that the universe must be intelligent at the subatomic level, and must be working on this process. Now, if we connect to the universe at a subatomic level, at a quantum entanglement level,
mm-hmm.
are we connecting to an intelligence? That's a big question.
Hmm. Wow.
Oh, yeah, I think we need to go to break now, because you just fried me, Philip. No, this is really deep stuff, these ideas. But the thing is, though, is I know there's a lot to it, but I really understand a lot of it now, though, too. I mean, on a base level, I really do understand it, because I think about this particular stuff all the time, and it's really a fascinating idea to me of how you can level yourself, I think, and become a part of this process. Why don't we take a quick break, though, Philip? Let's get our. I know. You see, this is like a walk in the park for you. I know, but when you're,
when but you're, my brain's about to explode.
Yeah, this is like heavy. Okay, so like, but no, I mean, this is. Fascinating.
Oh, absolutely.
Fascinating stuff. I want to talk more about that after the break. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Bonnie.
I'm Keith.
And we'll be right back after this.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com.
From Ghost Hunters, you might want to check out the Taps Power Magazine at tapspowermagazine.com. And you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Backyard, we ran in and out as I slowly die. Juvenile. Dearest friends, do you ever wonder, who am I? Why am I here? What is the meaning of life? Why do I keep repeating the same patterns, and how can I change them? Why am I free from being able to have the life that I've always dreamed of, and what is stopping me from having this? How do I meditate? What is an aura, and how do I see one? How can I come to a sense of well-being physically and spiritually, always? How can I remain in a state of absolute love, that soulful love, felt and expressed from within the heart of the soul, or we may say, unconditional love, bliss, peace, and spiritual oneness in life continuously? Dr. Patty Diamond, Lady Diamond, in co-creation with Spirit, shows you the path through the new book called Stepping into Spiritual Oneness, Spiritual Rememberings of the Soul Through Life Experience, available at Diamond Lady Publishing, www.diamondladypublishing.net.
Chaos going on in this world today.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's nice to talk to someone like Philip.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Very much so.
In my opinion, it's a bit humbling, too, because he, through his research,
mm-hmm.
okay, he has... It's funny. I've seen a lot of people do research on particular subjects, and you spend a lot of time on these things. I know Philip spent gazillions of man hours working on this research and his books and his DVDs and stuff like that. And, you know, a lot of times the answers you get are so obvious, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
The things you cut, your conclusions. And I mean, what we kind of talked about here in the last half an hour was, you know, balance. You know, what's going on with you? How can you make yourself a better person, right?
Did we say it like that?
Not necessarily, but I mean,
very Buddhist-like, very nice.
But I mean, it really comes down to that, where you know, I see people around me all the time, and I'm not complaining, but I see people around me all the time, and I look at them and go, and these are people that have been, what can I do? Well, first thing you can do is, like, you know, don't be happy with your life as a complete wreck, right? What can you do to balance things out? Look at the things you can do to resolve these issues that you have. Don't keep complaining about it. Try to find a way to make it work, make it better. If it's something you have to live with, make it so you can live with it. I mean, how can you find ways to the solutions? The MC5, we play it every week here on the show. There's a quote in our closing music. You hear the techno stuff, ding, 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 ding. You know, the techno stuff, right? Or, you know, the grinding house beat. Which be, ding, 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 ding. Okay.
That
so,
was
like,
hot.
No, but you hear the MC5 say it. They say it the best. You know, are you going to be part of the problem, or are you going to be part of the solution?
Absolutely.
And that right there, again, I've lived by that. Ever since I've heard that, God, when I was a little kid, I heard that. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool, you know? That's something I've always tried to think about. And what we're discussing here is all about that, too. It's about this idea of balance. I hate to keep, like, running over and over it again, but I think this is really important for people to hear. Whether you're a ghost hunter or a psychic, whatever you are, whether you're listening to this show for some reason, I think this is a really important message for people to hear. Am I on the right track, Philip, or have I completely lost my mind?
You're completely on the right track, and you're nearly in the station.
Well, I'm nearly what?
Nearly at the station.
No,
You're nearly at the station.
Oh, I'm nearly at the station. Okay.
Yes.
Well,
absolutely bang on. You know, most of the people's problems today is and has been for a while, is that they try to absolve responsibility for their own actions.
Oh, yeah.
By joining things. For instance, the state. We will absolve ourselves of a lot of responsibility by saying, well, you know, what can we do? It's the state, it's the government.
Mm-hmm.
And we join religion. And we say, oh, I'm absolved of all responsibility for my actions now because I will be saved and I'm absolved of all my sin. And I can just go on a Sunday and hand over all my confessions to the priest and it's sorted.
Mm-hmm.
As if your own actions can be taken away by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But it can't. And our unconscious world knows this. And all those things that we do that we know we are responsible for, they're working away in our unconscious world, and they will come back one day and slap us around the face.
Well, karma. Mm-hmm. Karma. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Karma.
There's going to be a lot of it in the world because there's an awful lot of societies and states and religions. And these are things that man has created to get rid of this responsibility that he doesn't want.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to walk around with this baggage anymore, so he wants to hand it to somebody else.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's not just state and religion, it's media, it's all kinds of different peer groups that people are in. They absolve themselves of responsibility, but they enter into a world of yet more fear. And the fear is the major aspect in the world today that unbalances people.
Well, and that ties in. I live it every day. I hear it every day from someone, whether in my professional life or my hobby life or even my personal life, where it's like, okay, that was really stupid. What did you do that for? Well, it wasn't my fault. It was this person's fault.
Oh, yeah.
It was this. I wouldn't have done this if this person did that. I rarely ever hear, and this is why I always tell people that there's no such thing, and maybe this is a bit pessimistic, and maybe you'll have a better idea for me to go on, Philip, but I always tell people that there's no such thing as the truth anymore in our global society. Now, there is such thing as the debate. The debate is alive and well.
Oh, yeah.
Because no one, I, except for me, because I'm perfect, right?
No.
No.
I accept responsibility.
I can't. I've been in situations with people over and over again. It's like, look, here's how it works, man. Here's the proof. Here's the problem. It's pointing at you. Let's try to work this thing out. I didn't do it. I'm not wrong. You're wrong. And then it turns into a screaming match again back and forth. Whereas I know, and I'm not trying to say that, you know, you need to live by the template of Scott L. This is what it's all about, right?
Yeah, it's getting kind of creepy.
It's getting creepy, I know. And I'm going to pull back real soon here, I promise.
Okay.
But I have made a point of saying, I mean, I really go out of my way if I make a mistake in my working life, my hobby life, or my personal life, that if I have made a goof up, I've fouled up or whatever I've done, I've done it, Bonnie.
I know, you
called
me.
I called and said, this was my fault, I'm taking the rap for this, and I'm going to fix it.
Absolutely.
I try to do it as much as possible, because I don't care who you are, every day you make mistakes. Every day people mess up. And that's okay, I think. I mean, as long as I think a lot of it has to do with the intentions, too, right, Philip?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's got an awful lot to do with the thoughts that are occurring inside our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily always the things that we go and physically do.
Mm-hmm.
They're external things that we manifest, but what's going off inside of us all the time and every day, and is an constant argument between the two sides of our mind.
Mm.
You know, you are constantly asking yourself something inside your own mind, that little voice inside there.
Yeah.
You know, which is spoken of in the Tales of Solomon, because Solomon is a very arrogant king, for instance, and everybody knows he's arrogant. He may be wise in certain ways, but he's arrogant, and he says to his people, he says, who is there in this great wide world that does not know of me? And, of course, the people go, well, everybody must do. But this little hoopoe bird tells him, well, actually, there's this lady down the road in Ethiopia, or Saba,
mm-hmm.
who's never heard of you. And she, of course, is the queen of serpents. And she's the queen of Sheba, or Saba.
Mm-hmm.
And Solomon says, well, go and fetch her. Tell her to come to me. And when they get together, the temple is magnificent. All things are great. Solomon is wise. When they're split apart, the ark is lost. The divinity is gone. And it's taken back to this place of serpents.
Mm.
This is the male aspect. This is the fiery side of ourselves. But there's got to listen to the other side, the feminine wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And the hoopoe bird is the voice that converses inside our minds. It's the messenger that speaks between us. You know, when we think to ourselves, well, why did I do that? Well, you know, that's not another voice, that's your own,
mm-hmm.
inside your mind. And if you can learn to listen to that voice, and you can learn to listen to the intuitive side of your life, and you can trust it, then you will build up that connection to this neutral state, and balance will therefore come, because balance is a natural order.
Again, listen to yourself.
Absolutely.
What I mean, yeah. I don't know if this is true or not, but I do think, you know, through society, through growing up in, let's just say, you know, the American society, there are a certain set of guidelines that you go by. You don't need a Bible for that. You don't need the Bill of Rights for that. You don't need any type of documentation. They're just things that you grow up understanding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't murder. Don't steal.
The golden
rule. Basic things that just, okay, look, this isn't cool. If you do this, you're going to get a negative reaction from the part you did it to. So don't do it. It's not fun. It's not comfortable. It's chaos.
Right.
You know, and the problem with writing down these rules is it causes problems.
Oh, you
know,
absolutely.
If you've got dogma and doctrine written down, you're going to get a problem. Listen to the spirit of the word and not the word, you know, the literal word. For instance, using condoms. If I can use that at this time of night.
No problem.
Using condoms is a bad thing to the Catholics because the word, you know, says so. And so the Catholics, the Pope turned around and said, you know, no, you can't use these things. And that we all know that in today's day and age of overpopulation, of AIDS, of all the problems in Africa, that was a terrible use of the literal word.
Mm.
You know, whereas we all know intuitively it's not necessarily the right thing to do.
Mm.
So the word can cause trouble when it's written down. Intuition is the same for us all.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from nature.
Well, when you write something down, and I know this is from personal experience, I've written many a document in my time, and a lot of the reasons I wrote a document was because I made the assumption that the person on the other end was a complete blithering idiot and could not do anything unless I gave them a set of instructions to do it with. Honestly. I've done it. It's like, okay, this person does not understand what's going on. They don't understand what's going on here.
Let's be honest. We have a world full of blithering idiots.
One's running our country.
Oh boy.
I'm mine.
I have a feeling we're going to be moving on to another subject very soon here.
That's absolving of responsibility again because we voted them in.
Yeah.
I didn't.
I didn't, but yes, he was voted in.
But no,
I've never met an American yet who admits to voting for George Bush.
Well, now, 4 years ago, I love him. He's a wonderful guy. But now, now that things have transpired, I think, and how they have transpired, people are a little more hesitant to admit responsibility.
Yes.
Responsibility again.
It's not me, it's their mothers.
There's no responsibility. I can't even talk responsibility nowadays. It's like, how good are you at putting a spin on it?
Right.
Well, I mean, I'm sure, Philip, you're familiar with the art of the speech, the art of the interview.
It depends on what your definition of is.
Well, go back to Clinton, but no, that.
Well, what's the old politician way is, that's not the question. The question is, and then you create one so you can answer it the right way.
You make up something.
I used to teach it. I used to be a marketing man, so I used to tell people how to spin, including the Labour Party in my country, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
So I am very responsible.
But you admitted it, though. You have admitted it, though, right, Philip?
Oh, of course, and I've got out of that world.
Yeah, you've moved away from that. Let's break this down. You admit responsibility to something. So what did you do to fix that? You removed yourself from it. You moved away from that.
Yes.
I'm on the right. Now I'm questioning this poor gentleman. No,
okay.
No, I'm trying to understand this.
I understand.
Here's the problem. Where's the solution?
Right.
What's the solution that's going to work here? It sounds like you found the right solution, Philip.
Well, you know, you just used the word which is key to most of it, because we can go and read an awful lot of books. But, you know, if you pile a load of books on top of a tortoise and it just makes it more heavy, unless that tortoise understands what's in those books. And that's the key word you used, understanding. And it's not going to be wise. You need to be understanding of the knowledge for true wisdom to come through.
Well, you said the spirit of the words, not just reading the words themselves.
Right.
That's
the spirit
right.
of the words, the spirit of what's in front of you in whatever language it may be in, the spirit of what you're seeing there. A lot of people don't understand that concept. They just, like you said, that here's black and white, this is what's going on here, I have to go by this and that's it. I don't have to... And, I think what a lot of instructional things like that do is they more or less just destroy creative thinking right there.
Mm-hmm.
They do. And, you know, to follow somebody else's dogma and doctrine is part and parcel of this fear and absolving yourself of responsibility.
Mm.
You know, if you said, if we agreed, for instance, that we would follow the spirit of the word, then we wouldn't be absolved of the responsibility. But if we say, oh, the word says it, so I've got to do it, we're absolving ourselves again, aren't we?
Well, yeah,
right.
Just pass
what
they're
doing. Yeah.
One of the old tricks I used to use, and this is what when I used to be a bouncer in a nightclub, a cooler. I'm serious. This is a perfect example. The owner of the nightclub that I worked at, who was a brilliant man, really great guy, good businessman, what do I do if I have a problem with somebody about this rule that you put into enforcement here tonight? And they blame it on me.
Right.
Blame it. I'm the bad guy. I'm the guy that pays the bills around here. Make it my fault. I'll handle it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It helps you. It's more of a positive situation to keep you from getting hurt by somebody. But, I mean, again, I'm passing the buck off to somebody.
Right.
Now, I'm doing it with his permission, right? But I'm passing the buck going, it's his fault. It's his fault. I don't care personally. I like you, but it's his fault.
Right.
Right? Again, you're passing it off completely. You're absolving yourself of any responsibility of that. But on a larger scale, though, when you do write down a list of things, this is what you'll do to get here. You do this, you'll go to heaven. You're going to heaven. I don't think it's that easy, personally. I never thought it was that simple.
No.
No, but that overcomes the greatest fear that we all have, you know, death.
Yeah.
We're running on fear for a great many things. The fear that our next door neighbours may have something slightly better than us, and so we jump on the cycle and have to earn more money to go and get into more debt and basically carry on the cycle until the point of death. But the overriding nature of fear comes from the fact that we're fearful of death, and so we create more rules and regulations for that very fear itself. And so, you know, unless you admit that you love Allah twice in the Islam, then you're not going to go to heaven. And unless you admit your sins to God and accept Jesus Christ, you won't in Christianity. And unless you get off of the wheel of samsara, you won't enter nirvana in the Buddhist scriptures. So, you know, which is probably the closest of all. Because, you know, unless we get off this cycle, we're not going to truly understand who we are and our connection to everything anyway.
Well, people,
and the cycle that we're all in is just it's an appalling kind of capitalist rat race, I'm afraid. And not that I'm opposed, you know, to great many things, but the thing, we are totally and utterly trapped, although we believe we are trapped. And that's another way of absolving our responsibility by saying, I'm trapped. I actually don't owe anybody any money, which is an extremely unusual situation where I live.
Oh, yeah.
Surrounded by people who owe for their house, owe for their television, owe for their computer. Mm. And because they've got all these things and they're fearful of the next door neighbours and have to keep getting new ones because of fashion and all the other things, they're entering into the cycle and they have to work longer hours and there's no end to it.
No, there isn't. And it all comes down to this idea, like you said, fear.
Right.
Yeah. One word, fear. Fear of whatever, but it's fear itself. It's all about fear. And a lot of it, I mean, I don't want to go too far down, but it's like, it is this whole idea of materialism. Like I said, I said it earlier, we've been convinced that everybody wants to make, everybody needs to be their own king or queen. We all have to have our own kingdom.
Yep.
We all have to have the biggest truck. We have to have the biggest computer, the biggest this, the biggest that. And if you don't...
You know, it's the marketing man's dream, fear. Because we've used it for an awful long time. We've used it for thousands of years to manipulate people and to control them and to get them to buy our product or buy into our God or to buy into our royalty or president.
Mm-hmm.
And we've used fear forever to get people to do things. You now think about fear and watch television advertisements and just see how they're playing very subtly upon our fears.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're just slight fears, like, you know, well, he's got that new car and really I ought to have one so that I appear to be the alpha male in the street.
Right.
Yeah. I think you just touched on a very strong word. It's actually funny because this weekend when we were on our trip, Philip, this joke came up about me, 'cause my attitude sometimes is I act like the alpha male.
Oh, yes, he does.
I think you're all idiots, okay? You don't know what you're doing, and I have to fix your problems for you, okay? No, but no. It's, when you said that, kind of my girlfriend sitting behind me, I looked back and she was snickering. So, I guess I'm a victim of the problem also. I don't know.
Truth hurts sometimes, doesn't it?
Nobody's perfect, Scott.
No, but yeah, I mean, alpha male, yeah, and it does come down to that. I mean, I can tell, I hate to bring up another bouncer example again, but I used to love, on the weekends when I worked at the nightclub, oh yeah, I know, I just did that thing with the hand.
Yes,
hey,
you
girl,
did.
Hey, girl.
doesn't work in radio land.
No, I used to love working at the club on the weekend because one of the things I enjoyed was people watching.
I love people watching.
And I used to enjoy immensely of these men that would walk in there, and they just left the gym like 5 minutes ago, so they're all pumped up. The veins are popping out. They got their brand new, they got their brand new shirt they bought at the mall on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I used to catch these guys like looking in the mirrors at themselves, kind of like, you know, right? And you know, the peacock spreading his wings out.
Yeah.
Yay, look how pretty I am, right? And that's a primordial mating ritual right there, I think. You know, it's in a nightclub and we have like lights and pretty music playing and stuff like that. But it really breaks down to this, and it is that I am the alpha male.
Mm-hmm.
I am the one that you want. You don't want this male over here because he's not the alpha. I am the alpha male.
That's no different than women spending 45 minutes doing their makeup and 3 hours doing their hair, 6 hours
absolutely
getting dressed to go out for one night.
Oh, I only spend about 15 minutes on my makeup. It's very simple.
Absolutely. That's the alpha female. Yep.
Yeah, so it goes both ways then, the alpha female, right, Bill? It goes both ways.
It totally does. You know, and that takes us back to evolution, doesn't it? Because whether you're creationist or evolutionist, either way, there's something has come. Our connection is there to nature, to the animals.
Mm-hmm.
They have their alpha male and alpha females too. So if we understand that about ourselves, that's a real a good way down the path to understanding who we really are. And people say that, don't they? Well, you know, go find out who you really are. And it sounds very new age and sort of gay. But well, it does, doesn't it, you know? And the number of people that look at me and go, what do you mean, know myself? I know who I am. And then they give off a list of, well, I'm a bouncer at a nightclub and I have a nice big Ford car. And well, no, that's not what you are. That's you attempting to be something else.
Right. Who I am is not what I do or what I have.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
Who I am is not trying to be James Bond that I saw on TV the other night.
Absolutely.
You know, who I am is me, but most of us go around dressing as other people.
And I think it's much more difficult to really know who you are than to know the things you have, to know the things that you do in life. It's a much more difficult
It's humbling.
Task. It's humbling, yeah. It's very humbling, because I know I've had random situations, I'm sure you have, Philip, where somebody just said something to me that just shut me up.
Because
mm-hmm. they
I love those
they
times.
Kinda, they kind of give me a glimpse into my true self, where I was like, okay, I can't admit this, but this, well, I have before, I think,
right.
But, like, that guy just shut me down.
Mm-hmm.
He just made a statement like, okay, you just basically read my whole life in, like, a couple of sentences,
mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go home now and cry.
Sometimes
you win.
It's easier to stand behind what you do and what you have than it is to face who you are, because sometimes it's not pretty.
It isn't. And I think a lot of people who, and I'm sure you agree with this too, Philip, a lot of people that are in these higher positions, let's say,
mm-hmm.
who have this responsibility, they do have a responsibility where they may avoid it a lot of times, but they
yes.
do have a responsibility nonetheless. I think if they really truly sat down and looked at themselves too, if they were able to really look in a mirror of themselves without the suit on,
mm-hmm.
without the slick back hair on, without the TV
Secret
makeup
Service
on their face,
agents
you know,
around them.
Yeah, there may be a pretty scary thing there. I mean, maybe I am kind of being a bit biased right now, but I have met people like that personally, where I say, like, you know, my God, if you really knew what you were doing here,
mm-hmm.
you'd weep. You would weep.
Yep.
I agree. I spent some time in Hollywood recently,
mm-hmm.
and met quite a few of these. We call them stars, which is really insulting to those sons
yes.
out there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not one of them that I met that I thought was a real person. They were all attempting to be something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because they've got themselves so far into this cycle of Hollywood that they would be absolutely terrified to go and look in the mirror and truly see who they are.
Well, and not that they'd be able to pass all the cocaine they were snorting anyway.
At that point, they can't drop the persona. They've done so long.
When it comes to drugs, too, real quick, I mean, I think that's something that really alters...
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of your... we were discussing balance, for example. I mean, okay, that's something I think that's going to really knock you off kilter.
Well, because it numbs your senses to view either chaos or calm.
Order. Yeah, or order.
Yeah.
That's a classic example, I think, right there, is where...
Absolutely.
Yeah, substance abuse can really throw you off. It's why I'm drug free.
I mean, there's been a certain book out recently by a famous author who went and used drugs to actually access this altered state of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just an incredibly bad example. Because, you know, our ancestors didn't say, you go and use drugs and you'll find this world. They said, you find it in balance and you take your time to find yourself.
Yeah.
And you find true wisdom before you even attempt to get into this mystical experience. God doesn't want to see drugged up hippies standing before him.
I don't think he does either. I don't think that altering your chemistry like that is any way to find yourself. That's just my opinion. I've talked to many of people who are like, oh man, no, it opens up doors. It opens up doors to your mind. I'm like, no, from scientifically speaking, from what I've read, it's actually shutting the doors.
Right.
You're closing yourself off in the long run, and then you're going to be an automaton in a couple of years. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. But
it's not good foundation.
No,
if you're going to build a great temple, put some good foundations down.
There you go. I think that's a great way to end this, because we're out of time, Philip.
God, that flew by.
It did fly by. Well, when Philip comes on, it's like time stops, and you just like you run with it, and you try to understand what's going on. And I think we got a lot done tonight. I really think we got a lot done. Philip, thank you. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Please stay on the line for a few more minutes. We have to discuss something with you after the show, if that's okay.
Nice.
Guys, I want to thank everybody out there. Doug's, he's probably safely, he's probably out ghost hunting right now.
He probably is.
Doug's in Gettysburg. We had him on the first half an hour discussing the stuff he was doing. What's up, buddy?
Very quickly, I want to say... Happy Veterans Day. Thank you to all our veterans.
Yeah, happy Veterans Day.
And happy 40th anniversary, Mom and Dad.
Oh my God. 40th anniversary?
Yep.
Well, congratulations to the Spittler family. That's really great. Congratulations. I didn't know that.
Yep.
All I heard was new floors were put in the house.
Yeah, today's their 40th.
In celebration of the 40th anniversary, we're going to refloor the entire house. Hey, that's a good present.
That's what you wanted.
That's a good present.
I would like to thank you guys for inviting me back.
Keith, Brother Keith, has always been, again, a great
love
friend
him.
Of the show here. Keith's sitting in here hanging out, and he's kind of keeping us in line in the absence of Doug.
Yes.
Like I said,
I'm
Doug,
the wacky guy that comes up with the one-liners.
I love it.
Well, it's always a pleasure. We love having you on, Keith. And Doug, like I said, Doug's in Gettysburg.
Yep.
Thank you to Doug for taking some time out of his wonderful vacation
yep.
to hang out with us. Thank you to Ron Milione and Brian Harnoy from TAPS.
Absolutely.
Great couple of guys, good friends of the show. And I can't wait to go and do the work we're going to do with those guys next year. I think it's going to be absolutely wonderful.
Sounds exciting.
Again, thank you to Philip Gardner
yes.
for coming on and opening our minds, for God's sakes. I hope you people listen to this show and think about that for a few seconds. Just think about what's going on here. Level yourself. Balance. Balance. Must learn balance. Just watch a Karate Kid. Watch a Karate Kid. Or balance. Must learn. Okay? I'm just trying to go to the video store.
Bad impersonation.
I know it's a bad impersonation, but just go to the store and it might help you out a little.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know everything.
Okay.
I'm very tired.
Evidently.
I want to thank all of you guys out there, the people that are nice enough to listen to this show live, the people that download this to podcast or download it on, they file share it, or they put it up on their radio. I don't know. These people do so much stuff out there.
Yeah, they do.
And thank you all, even though you don't want us to know about you, because I find all this weird stuff on the internet. Like, we're rebroadcasting Ghostly Talk. I'm like, who are you people, right? Thank you, though, too. We really appreciate it. You guys are really helping us out a lot, and we love doing this show. Thank you all. I'm out of here. I'm going to shut my mouth. I'm very tired. Good night. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Bonnie.
I'm Keith.
See you guys later.
I need to go someplace where a man can think. Someplace where I can think.
and more accurate, balanced news coverage. Real people with real lives in your dramas and on your talk shows. And if we don't get it, we'll make it ourselves. Don't hate the media, become the media.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
Don't hate the media, become the media.